The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
See you, B. Hit me up, B.
NFL Experience. They've got the lockers there with all the stuff in them.
Okay.
We're going to have somebody here. Who's here?
Got you, Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner. We've got Bobby Wagner on the program.
He's at back there hanging with Chad Ochocinco right now.
From Seattle to L.A., back to Seattle.
Bobby
Wagner. Some changes with the Seahawks this year. Here he comes.
What's up, Bobby?
Bobby Wagner, future Hall of Fame linebacker, one of the best ever.
Good to see you.
Bobby, good to see you, buddy. All right, here we go.
It's my first time.
Hour two of BFT Live.
In person, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've talked to him on the phone before. He doesn't remember.
But no, I'm saying
I interviewed
in
you in person.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
A minute.
That's right. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
What's, I'm good.
What's life been like, you know, with, you know, Seattle, L.A., back to Seattle once again, right? You know, how's that change of life and scenery been so far?
It's been cool. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I've been in Seattle for a long time, so obviously I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
I got familiar with it. But going back to L.A., it was just that's a life that I was familiar with when I was young.
Growing
so
up.
It was cool. And then going back to Seattle, I think there was a mutual respect and appreciation because we stepped away for a year.
Yeah,
that I felt me and the fans had, and you know, that year was special from that standpoint. I was just unfortunate that we couldn't do more. Yeah,
I hear
we couldn't
you.
Do more.
Were you? Did you have any feel or sense at all that this was going to happen with Pete Carroll? Like, it caught us by off guard. We're all over the NFL all the time, right? Did you have any sense that this was a possibility?
I didn't have any sense.
Yeah.
You know, I think because, you know, obviously it's kind of like with, you know, Bill Belichick. When you think of Seattle, you think of Pete Carroll.
Right.
And, you know, everybody talks about those two, you know, those two styles of coaching. And obviously – both are very different, but both are very successful.
Right.
And so, you know, but also you know that at some point it was going to come to an end. I just thought maybe Pete would have had more control of it. He stepped away because he wanted to retire or something. But, you know, he is the oldest coach in the league, but he doesn't look that way. And when you're around him, he definitely don't act that way. So I'm pretty sure this won't be his last thing. And if it is, it's because he wants to.
Yeah.
Were you surprised his name didn't even come up?
I don't know. I don't know what goes into that, the coaching process, because I think there's a lot of candidates over the years that haven't got looked at or haven't got jobs that are surprising to a lot of people. So I'm not sure what goes into that. But I don't think this would be his last thing.
But from your perspective, what you've seen, especially after being away a year and coming back, this guy's still got it. He can still do it.
His energy is crazy. You know, if you put him in front of some of the younger coaches, you won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, you'd be like, he's younger.
Yeah, so he definitely has the energy. It's just, you know, figuring out what they want to do with it.
Hey, did nobody tell you that you're old? You're not supposed to be good anymore?
I mean, they tell me.
They tell you. Really, what you're doing is kind of incredible. I hope you know that.
Thank you.
I'm a football historian. I mean, I, you know, grew up in the sport.
Thank you.
Middle linebackers, and what are you, in 11 now? 12?
This is 12. About to be 13.
So much for a football historian.
Well, right. I don't remember the exact.
He says he's a football historian until you ask him something specific.
I just went off the top of my head, and I was in the ballpark.
No worries.
But it's incredible.
Six-time first team All-Pro.
Right.
Six times.
The passion's still there to work in the off season and do all those things. You're still full steam ahead.
Yeah, man. I take my time to, you know, obviously let my body recover, but I try to get going. And you know, obviously as you get older, staying in shape and eating right is way more important, you know, in the off season. But you know, I'm fortunate enough I got a guy like LeBron James to watch and see some of the things that he's doing. You know, playing at such a high level at an age where people think he should not be doing the things that he's doing. I watched Ray Lewis. I watched Lennon Fletcher.
Right.
All these guys that have really, really long careers and, you know, fortunate enough that they were, you know, willing to offer me the knowledge that allowed them to last as long. And so I just try to do my best to use some of that as well as do some of the things that I believe in.
What are some of the things? What are some of the things, that you're doing? Because it's working.
I think it's the change in some of the change in workouts. You know, I think as they got later in their career, they stopped squatting.
Right.
Because it, you know, it's harder on
your
knees.
It's too hard on your back.
So they start doing, you know, more sand training, more different forms of training. So a lot of that is that, yoga, and then, you know, just the lifestyle. You know, I think a lot of times guys, when they don't do the same things and that they do during the season and the off season.
Right.
And so just making sure that that's a consistent lifestyle, I think that's the thing too.
Monday after a 49ers game in year two, what did it feel like compared to Monday after a 49ers game in year 12? Like what's the difference in Mondays now?
You know, it's funny. it's not much difference.
Right.
And the reason why is the preparation is different. I'd say year one, year two.
You're just going.
You know, you're just going. I'm eating pizza.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm,
you
know,
young and the man.
My metabolism was crazy. So, I probably had so much fast food and things of that nature that I know if I was still eating like that, I would be hurting the next day.
Right.
So I don't eat that way no more. So I think, you know, I recovered pretty well. You know, I feel good.
Yeah, good, man.
You know the 49ers very well. What's the toughest thing about their offense to defend?
I think it's the creativity that they have, the talent that they have. And so they can run the exact same plays, and it could be for different people. You know, they can have Debo can be an option one play, McCaffrey could be an option another play, then you got Kittle could be an option for another play. And so normally you come into a game, you try to stop one or two players, but they have so many different people. And then they have, like, really good key role players that can step in and do those things as well. And so I think that's what makes it tough. You know, their weapons can click at the same time, which is dangerous.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, both teams, you know, you've gotten a good feel for both of these guys, right?
Yeah.
Mahomes, what jumps out to you in your experience playing against him?
I think the toughest thing to defend for him is the off-the-script plays.
Right.
Like the plays where he just extends the plays, or even like where, you know, Kelsey's supposed to run a certain route, a certain way, but, you know, he reads the defense and plays it a certain way, or kind of just finds the open hole. So it's, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, you watch film and just – understand that they're not going to be exactly where they're supposed to be.
You got to be ready for backyard.
You know, how do you practice for that? How do you even begin to practice for that?
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Because, again, like you said, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know when they're going to go off script. You just got to be aware that it's going to happen. And I think that's the biggest thing, is being aware that it's going to happen.
And what do you do when it happens? Is it just stay calm? What do I do? Everything's gone out the window. Just go to the ball. What do you do?
So when you play quarterbacks, period, like in my opinion, you know, some defenses allow you to read the quarterback's eyes.
Right.
And like the routes, his vision on the routes will take you to the routes most times.
Right.
When you play a guy like this, you have to be more locked in on your person, because if he scrambles, they have scramble rules.
Right.
And so if you're locked in on your guy and you just match up on your guy, it gives you a better chance. But if you're looking at the quarterback, this quarterback,
yeah,
you'll lose your guy.
Yeah. Right.
And your guy will make the catch.
Right, right. I know that's why he's the man. Here's a one I got for you, right? What's a stronger feeling? The winning of the Super Bowl or how you felt after the loss of the Super Bowl the next year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would have to say the loss.
You're right.
And the reason why I would say that is because when we won, we were young. We didn't understand. It was like year two. We're not even supposed to be there.
Right.
And in our mind, it's like we're going to get there every year.
Right.
And so going into that next year.
Yeah, 2014.
The statistics were saying we were not going to get back.
Right.
And it was a challenging season for us.
Right.
Even that the game before we,
the,
you know,
the
going
NFC
to the
championship
yeah,
game,
that,
right?
That was a hard game,
right?
But we were able to get there.
Yeah, you guys were in trouble and came back.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you know, we're going back and forth, and we're literally right there on the doorstep to you know doing things that people said that we couldn't, and we obviously didn't finish the job. And then I think just what happened after that, the business happened after that. So
yeah.
You had like, you know, obviously the feelings from the loss, but then you had the contracts
right.
that had to be
free
figured
agents
out.
And
you know,
everybody
you got,
wanna
you
go.
Know, everybody
right.
now we're not young. Now we're like, okay, we're,
right.
we need to get paid and
right.
now the business coming to us. But we were still able to you know, have our group last longer than people, you know, expected together. But you know, unfortunately we just couldn't get another
just
championship.
Run the ball up the middle of Marshawn.
Let me ask this. How long did it take to get over that decision to throw instead of run? And were there some guys on that team that never got over it?
Me, it didn't take that long because I you know, it kind of made you more hungry to try to get back there. But I will say there's certain guys that are still not over it to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell right. us, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying.
You're setting it up.
Well, I'm going to hear it, Mr.
It
Nationwide. I mean, you're good
yes.
at playing middle
and
linebacker.
And he's a finalist for Walter
yes.
Payton
We're
Man of the Year
sure
Award, too.
We're not sure about all this other stuff, so let's see it.
Nationwide,
yeah.
You know, our partnership and what they've done with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, they've came across, I think this is 10-year mark of them being a partner with, you know, for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The things that they're doing to help us and, you know, kind of push our platform, I believe it's 2.3 right. million that they've, you know, kind of given away and,
yeah.
and helped, you know, the causes and things like that. I think it's just been a blessing to be a part of it, a blessing to partner with them, you know, on something like this. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, football is amazing. But what we do with our gift and what we do with, you know, some of the finances that we've been able to accumulate over the course of my 12-year career to help other people and having them, you know, help us has been amazing.
That patch
awesome.
That goes on your jersey when you win and what it represents. But that is the
pretty
most
cool.
awesome patch. In all of football,
yeah.
when you see that, the old sculpture in the cape, it's just great.
Yeah.
We wish you all the best
Thank
as you,
you
are one of the
You're
finalists this year for the Walter Payton Man
sure.
of the Year Award.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bobby Wagner, future Hall of Famer, Seattle Seahawk. We'll
Appreciate
be back
you.
With more PFT Live right after this.
Thank you, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At the theater, more than the movies come to life. Movie lovers march in and skip the line with digital tickets to the latest movies on the free Fandango app. Ready to grab some snacks. And head to the best seats in the house for a night of romance, terror, and quality family screen time. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Hurts back again. He steps up. He's looking. He is going deep. And it is caught. It is caught down the far side of the field.
Ooh,
it is
Devontae
Smith for a touchdown.
That's Skinny
and
Batman.
The Eagles take the lead.
That's Skinny Batman.
Skinny Batman.
Skinny Batman getting it done. Skinny Batman
skinny
here with
Batman.
Us. Devontae
You're too
Smith.
Skinny, man. You can't play in this league. You're going to get hurt. You can't handle it, man. You're proving them all wrong. What do they got to say now? What do you got to say to them?
Just continue to do what I've been doing.
Right. You're doing great, man. We've had a lot of fun watching you so far.
Another 1,000-yard really receiving season for Devontae Smith. Right. 3 years in. Doesn't it fly by? I feel like we were just talking to you as you're getting ready to get drafted.
Yeah, definitely, man. Time moves fast.
Yeah, it does. It does. All right, so, you know, we're here now. You just told me you're going home Saturday. How many times this year, how many times this week do you still think about last year's Super Bowl?
Anytime, you know, it comes on, something like that. Like, I'm at a restaurant this playing, I think about time, you know, man, you know. It's hard to get there.
Right.
And, you know, you never know if you're going to get back. So, right. You know, you have that one opportunity, you were so close, and you just always think about, man.
Like we just had Bobby Wagner here, and he said literally they won one and they lost one, and the stronger feeling is the one he lost,
yep.
Right? That hurts him, and he feels that more. So are you at a point where, like, you see the game come on from last year or highlights, like you turn the TV off, you don't even want to live with it? Or you can at least, like, deal with it and that kind of thing.
I can deal with it.
You can deal with it.
I can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it make it harder that this year you guys were 11-1? And I know you weren't blowing people out, but you're still 11-1. You're 11-1, and then it turned the other way. Does it make it harder to deal with the fact that it felt like we had a chance to get back there, but then something went haywire?
It is kind of tough because you think about everything that you did in those 12 weeks prior to, you know, the downfall, and it was just like – it wasn't pretty, but we were getting it done. And then it came to a point where we couldn't get it done. So it was just like, were we just getting away with it, or were we actually just going out there executing the small things that got us to where we was?
Where do you feel like it's went wrong, right? I mean, I know you don't have the exact answer, but guys in the locker room usually have a little feel about the mojo of the locker room and the team, right? Like, what was your sense and kind of why it kind of started to snowball downhill?
I just feel like we just couldn't find a way to stop the bleeding. I feel like everybody still had the goal as the goal. Everybody was still chasing that goal, but we just couldn't find a way to stop the bleeding.
Like, did you think the team, like, felt the pressure of, like, hey, we got to do something? Like, did it become like that, where tension?
I don't think it was pressure, because
right.
I feel like guys were still attacking the week the same way.
Right.
The energy at practicing, everything was still good, but we just could not find a way to stop it.
Did it start with the 49ers game? I feel like that was the thing that started the bleeding that couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, I would say that's where it started. You know, that little stretch we went through, you know, that's a tough stretch.
It was a
and,
tough.
And, you know, getting down, you know, every game came down to, you know, last possession. So, you know, like I said, it was a tough stretch. And I think that's where it kind of started. You know, guys were getting fatigued. And not to make an excuse, but, you know, it's a long season, and you have to find a way to get around it, and I just feel like we never got around it.
Right. Long season last year, too. It starts to pile up, right?
Yeah.
You know, who's the guy in the locker room, like, you guys got so many great leaders, and you got so many great damn football players. It's probably a big part of the disappointment because you're like, damn, we're good. How could this happen? Who's the guy in the locker room that's kind of like, you know, what the hell are we doing? Let's go, mofos. What the hell are we do? Who's that guy that kind of speaks up?
I feel like we have had a lot of guys that had those conversations.
Right.
Whether it was me, Jalen, Kelsey, Fletch, AJ. A lot of guys had those conversations. We even started, you know, our own meetings having those conversations.
Remember hearing that.
And it just, I don't know, man. It was just hard to turn around.
Yeah, right. You played both of these teams, right? Give us your little scouting report on what jumps out to you about both that impresses you and maybe where they could be had too.
Two very explosive offenses.
Right.
You know, having a guy like Patrick Mahomes back there, and then you have Travis Kelce with him. You know, you can never count those guys out.
Right.
You know, they've been there plenty of times. Coach Reed, he's been there plenty of times, and you know, you can never count those guys out. The moment is never too big for them. But
right.
You know, with the 49ers having the dynamic offense that they have, Shanahan over there. it's tough when you have that many guys on the offensive side of the ball that's so explosive.
Right. You I get the sense there. Are you leaning 49ers in this matchup a little bit?
No, I don't necessarily have
Don't give me that bull crap, Devontae.
Never bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so hey, there you have it. That's where we're like, no joke. I mean,
we said the same thing last year when you were getting ready to play him.
We kind of said the same thing.
You guys
had
a better team, but it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. And we felt like you guys hadn't been in any close games where they were playing in these close games, and we were like, they're going to be used to it if it's close. Did that kind of come into your guys' psychology at all, or do you feel like that was the fact that you steamrolled everybody almost hurt you in the Super Bowl?
No, I feel like we was always ready for the moment. I think it was just, you know, some plays that we wish we could have had back.
Right.
That, you know, the game comes down to who takes the ball, and we didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Next year, when the Eagles start off 0-0 and start winning games, what's going to be the reason why the Eagles have found their mojo again?
Everybody just having faith in each other, knowing that, you know, the guys that was there last year that's going to still be there this year, knowing what last year felt like, knowing what went wrong, and just what it took for us to get back and what it's going to take for us not to get back where we was.
I think I've asked you this before, but, like, give me one or two guys in football right now, offense, defense, right? Receiver that you admire most. Can't say A.J. Brown, all right? But somebody else out there that you look at and go, wow, like my first few years in the league, I didn't realize that guy was that good. And give me one on the defensive side, too.
Keenan Allen was always my guy.
Right.
Watching him, you know, at the top of his routes, the suddenness that he had, decision-making, he was always a guy that I studied. So I would say it would be him. And then on the defensive side, I would say when I came in, Slay, you know, just the preparation that he has, the film study.
Right.
I think what stood out to me the most is when we had a talk before my rookie year, before the first game, everything that he seen about me, everything that, you know, it was like he was studying me.
Right.
And he said, I can tell you when you're finna run a certain route by when you do certain things. Huh. And that was stood out to me, like, okay, this is what they mean in the NFL when they say guys are studying things.
Right.
They can tell when you are giving tendencies away.
Right.
Did you take that then and change things up after everything he told you?
Definitely.
Yeah. You played these corners here. Is it fair to say, like, Snead was the best corner on both football teams? You know, playing man. I know that Charvarius is good on the 49ers. They got, my man from Washington, McDuffie, on the Chiefs.
I like McDuffie.
McDuffie is the guy?
I like McDuffie. You know, plays in the slot, plays outside.
Right.
He's good in the run fits.
Tackles,
right? You know, tackling and things like that. I love McDuffie's game.
Yeah, yeah. So you think he's the best all-around corner in this football game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby girl before week one. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
How's it been so far?
Oh, it's been great, man. You know, staying up in the middle of the night, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
How's she sleeping?
She's up and down. One night she sleeps, one night she doesn't.
Do you do diapers? Do you change them?
Yeah.
That's the best part of it.
Don't forget you're rich and you can pay some people to help you out. All right? Don't forget that. Just letting you know.
Hey,
all right?
Tell us what's up with Toyota.
Yeah, you know, Toyota is officially the automotive partner of the NFL now. And at Super Bowl Experience, they have a game that you can play to get familiar with the Tacoma, the 24 Tacoma they have coming out.
Okay. A little Tacoma action.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I see it. Look at you out here. One of the best receivers in football. Now he's making money on Radio Row, selling for Toyota. All right. Wait, what's the game? What's the game consist of over there? Like throwing a ball or catching a ball or what?
I don't know, but I will be over there to, you know, play the game with some fans and, you know, get used to it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be checking it out on social media, see how you do in that game.
Look for Devontae Smith at the NFL Experience with the Toyota game involving the new Tacoma. Congratulations on your success. Keep kicking ass. We look forward to seeing what you do next year. We look forward to talking to you again down the road. Devontae Smith, more
PFT
Live,
man.
From the Super Bowl right after this. Appreciate it. We continue here at Radio Row. Joining us now, one of the best receivers in the National Football League.
One of the best.
Who finally got onto the kind of platform that allowed the world to recognize what Chris Sims has been saying for years now, and he really has been. I was giving you a hard time before, but he has been. DJ Moore, one of the best receivers in football, probably in your top five.
Top five, right? Is it frustrating as a receiver off of that sometimes to go like, man, I know I'm like as good as Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. and you're not in the right situation. You're watching them get all the attention. What is that like?
Yeah, when the stats marry each other, it's like maybe it's because they're in a better market, but in Carolina, you know, it's a small little market, so right. when I got to Chicago, it was just like I was doing the same things there, now I'm doing here,
right,
and
right.
it just got blown up.
Yeah,
so I'm
had
happy for
a Monday night game, you did it, you had stuff like that, all of a sudden you're out there and you're a star.
Definitely the Thursday night game is
the Thursday
made
night
me, made
right.
me blow up.
Right. The Washington game.
How much did you know it was coming last year when the trade happened? Did you have an idea it might happen, or it's just like boom, they call you up, you're going to Chicago?
Happened like that. Happened so fast. I was just coming down my driveway because we was changing houses, me and my family. So it was like, yeah, you're getting traded to Chicago.
So wait, you're changing houses in Charlotte?
Yeah.
And now it's time to change houses again?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, wow.
So it was like, bang. Signed a deal. Next year, okay, you're leaving. We traded you for the first overall pick. So I was like, dang.
Yeah, damn. But it's been cool, right, the experience?
Yeah, it's been great. Chicago, the fans, the organization has been lovely. They all treated me with open arms. So I loved it.
Yeah, all right, so we're not going to dance around this subject. You know where we're going right here, right?
Going,
all right.
Yeah.
I mean,
right
because,
to it, baby.
Right, we might as well just get it over with because I think we're both believers in keep Justin Fields.
Yeah.
He does a lot of good. Right? He's getting better and better, throwing mm-hmm. decisions, all that. Build the freaking team around you guys. We're kind of that, but we feel like it may be going the other way. So where are you feeling about this, or how are you feeling about this?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That's everything I've been saying. So his growth has been phenomenal. If you look at the games where he came back off an injury, he's been everything that you can ask out of a quarterback. Just putting your players in position to win and getting the ball to his playmakers, and if he got to do it himself, he does it himself and takes it like 50, 60 yards and does his thing, and that's all you can ask is just steady growth, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
Hey, DJ, tell us something we don't know about Justin Fields that we should know.
He's a great leader. Like, he might not say it out loud, but he leads by example, and like, if he has to speak up, he will speak up and make things happen.
Are you surprised with like how it's so polarizing, right? Like, it feels like in Chicago, he turned the fan base a little in his favor towards the end of the year, where I would go on things in Chicago, and they'd be like, yeah, we're up for keeping Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, do you get exhausted, like, kind of sticking up for him at times?
No, I don't get exhausted because I know his growth and that everything that he went through the past year and then the year that I came in. So just to see that year that they went 3-something like that.
Right.
And then to turn around and just add four more wins, it had to be something with growth. So I'm proud of him, and I know the fans love him. And
really you're on record, and you want Justin Fields as your quarterback.
I'm definitely on record.
Yeah.
This year started slowly, and then there was a point where it all turned. And by the end of the year, you were one of those teams like, you know, the rest of the teams that are getting into the NFC playoffs may not want the Bears to get in. What was the thing that turned it around for you guys?
Just everybody just honing in on different things, you know. O-line was just focused on the O-line. Running backs was focused on their game plan. Receivers and quarterbacks was focused on their. So everybody was just locked in and just like, hey, we got to make this thing go. The coaches just going to call the plays that they call, and we just got to make it work.
How surprised were you that Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, wasn't kept with the team?
How surprised was I? I mean, it was 50-50. It was exit interviews was with the GM and the head coach. So
you could feel it a little.
You could feel it coming.
You could feel something.
There was questions
ruined.
Or something, right.
So at that point, it was just like, it's up to them to make the decision. And everybody gave their input. And, I mean, that happened. And now we have Shane. So on to that.
What's the big difference between Chicago and Carolina? Like, just playing there and being a part of, you know, both those kind of cultures.
The fans are
crazy in Chicago.
Crazy,
right?
In Chicago,
right?
And
they're starving.
They're starving, but they're crazy respectful fans. You know,
they
if they see you out there, they respect you. If you with your family or out eating, And Charlotte, they're the same way, but Charlotte, they was a little bit more scary and timid to come up. And Chicago,
I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
They come up right to you. But they'd be respectful with it.
All right. I know, you know, I think you're one of the most talented guys in football, and usually talent knows talent, right? Mm-hmm. I told you before we started, Micah Parsons said you were the best player he played against 2 years ago. Give me receiver in football right now that kind of puts you in awe at times and you go, damn, that's a baller. Mm-hmm. And give me a defensive guy that you just go, damn, that guy's good when I see him on the field every week.
Justin Jefferson has a hot hand right now at receiver.
Yeah, right.
No, he does different things.
He's a fanboy, Justin Jefferson. Watch out. He's a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, this isn't
you don't
about
talk
Justin
to him,
Jefferson.
And you just want to make this you and
about me.
And
he's the DJ Moore fanboy, yeah. right? And when Justin was on yesterday, I didn't do this to him, and he didn't do this. So, go ahead. Do your thing. He was talking about
Justin
great
Jefferson.
Players. Go ahead.
He does some amazing things. As you can see, he put his young career together, it's been amazing. The one hand catches, him showing up in big time moments, and then on the defensive side, you gotta give it to Snead from the Chiefs.
Oh,
he's been shadowing people and putting people on locks. So I mean,
yeah, you got to face that this year, right?
He was the real deal.
Real deal. Yeah.
Did he try to manhandle you the way we saw him do to Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, he called me one time. Like that.
He did.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, don't do that again. And I was ready for it after that. Like he called me on. It was like real sneaky with it, so you don't know when it's coming. So
yeah.
What's
like,
he do right. though? What's he do that you don't see it coming? Just his demeanor, like he acts like he's not going to do it, and then he just does it.
He's looking at the ball, and then he like. Quick jams you as soon as like he knows the snap count's coming. So it was like a real big shock. When
and you're looking at the ball.
Yeah, so I was
like,
looking, and then I turned. I got hit. I said, whoa.
I appreciate you being honest about it and letting us know that. That's cool.
You got something going on with Mountain Dew. Tell us more about it, DJ.
Yeah, I'm with Mountain Dew. After I had this big commotion on a podcast with a fellow teammate of mine, Equanimeous St. Brown, and about me loving Mountain Dew, they reached out and
now
Baja Blast is a big deal, and on Sunday it's a big commercial coming out, and I can't wait to see it, and I may or may not be a part of it. So
which
means he's a part of it. Which means he's a part of it.
Baller here is doing
last
Super Bowl
night,
commercials.
I got home last night after 11, and I stopped at the store in the hotel, and I got a big bottle of Diet Mountain Dew, and I drank it all, and it was awesome. And then I was up till 3.
That's what they do. They give you that burst.
I love Mountain Dew. Like Mountain Dew, other than just Pepsi itself, is my next drink. Like definitely down the line. You're drinking Diet Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I was about
Diet.
To ask
like, what
Diet?
Are you? What are you? What are you? Have underwear bottle of Diet this morning?
Maybe I do.
Jeez.
You gotta go regular
Mountain Dew, man. Come on.
Well, DJ, congratulations on your success. We're both big fans. Great to see you doing well with the Bears, and we'll be watching and waiting to see what happens at the quarterback position. Thanks as always.
You're the man, D.
All right, back with more from Radio Row after this.
In 4 games this season, do you feel like you've had less time to get open and create space for yourself?
Nah, I'm open. I'm always open. Excuse my profanity, I'm sorry. 7-Eleven. That's all I gotta say, brother.
He is always open. Even when he's not open, he is open.
Right,
Jamar Chase, Bengals receiver, one of the greats in the NFL right now. Great to see you, Jamar.
Thank y'all for having me. Nice to see y'all.
What is it every year that takes you guys like a little bit to get going on the offensive side of the ball, right? Even when you go to the Super Bowl.
Jump right into it. No small talk.
I don't mind that. No shortcuts.
he doesn't tiptoe. I just heard what he said on there. He threw the F word out there. We get right to it.
Sure, because I mean, at the end of the day, it happens, man, and I don't know why we always start off so slow, but you know, I would love to start off faster. I mean, we got to work on that as a whole unit. And, you know, maybe we just got to come down to some core plays that we just like running off first plays, couple plays of the game.
Right. You like a better openers, right?
Right.
To just get
just
you going that way.
Maybe, you know, we got to see play around, see what we can do.
Yeah, okay. I like that. You are like... All right, first off, I want to pick a fight between you two, actually.
All right, there we go. That's fine.
Do you know who his favorite receiver is?
That's fine.
He's a Vikings
Justin
fan.
Justin Jefferson,
right?
Jamar's number 2.
I'm always kind of trying to tell him, like, you're better than JJ, but he don't want to hear it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No. Who is better between the two of you?
I'm not going to say him.
You're not going
to say
that.
I love him to death.
Are you? I think I got the impression you're waiting to see what happens with his deal so then you can do a better deal. Is that what you're waiting for?
I mean, I have zero control right now, man. Honestly, I'm just going to let God take his toll and guide me through this right now. But, you know, I would love to get a deal done this year. We got a lot of pieces we got to take care of already, so. No, I'm just going to sit back and be patient.
But there's a little inkling in you that just wants to make sure you get a little more than JJ, right? I mean, I would if he was my boy from college.
Yeah.
I'd be like...
I mean, that's going to go away. You're going way back to college where we just talking trash all day, man.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so, right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, who knows what he's asking? He's probably want quarterback money, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, don't you? Don't you want quarterback money?
I want it, too. He deserves it. I deserve it.
He knows me well enough to know I'm a firm believer that great players should get paid mm-hmm. what they're worth. You only got a limited number of years yeah. where they're going to pay you that kind of money. Get what you can while you can. How do you balance that against we got a team and there's only so much to go around? I mean, yeah. Joe got his. Joe got what he deserved.
Yeah.
How do you strike that balance for yourself?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it depends on, you know, if you want to be with a good team or you just want it for the money. You know, at the end of the day, I want a championship. I want to get a Super Bowl. And as all greats say, you know, that's what they all want, too. And that's what it's going to come down to, you know, when my time is up with the deal and, you know, and it's actually time for me to do the deal. So only God can tell, man.
But you're willing, like it sounds like, to make a little sacrifice for the team. Like I know you want to maximize money. I hear you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're not willing to like.
I can, but I don't want.
You don't want to ruin the team over every last dollar.
You know, yeah.
Right.
Then
right.
It's gonna be worse than what it is now. You know what I'm saying? Just a straight cloud the whole game, and you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I might get mad, take myself out the game, or some other stuff. So,
right.
You know, I got to keep pieces around. That's how good teams stay good.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you played the Chiefs week 17, New Year's Eve, did you think after that game this is a team that's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Nah. I mean, everybody know I don't really like the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying?
You know, we know you don't like them, right?
I ain't going to never cheer for them.
Yeah.
So.
But you thought there was a chance, even because we were all sitting there
yeah.
going, man, the Christmas honestly, game, you saw them against the
yeah.
Raiders. They stunk, right?
Yeah.
You were going like, holy crap.
I mean, they did. They turned it up after our game, I would say. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a different type of football team, and it showed after they played us, you know what I'm saying? And we got the best out of them, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, Jake came in, played a great game, you know what I'm saying? T came in and unfortunately ended up getting himself banged up.
Yeah.
I was already banged up, so it wasn't already going our way that game.
Yeah,
so,
the year wasn't going your way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we put our foot down and played through it at the end of the day.
Right. All right. So you played both teams, right? You went into San Francisco, beat the 49ers, I think, 31-17, midpoint of the year, or week 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Right? Give us your kind of scouting assessment of both teams and kind of how you think this matchup plays out.
Yeah, so from my perspective on what I see from, you know, how we played those two teams, when we played 49ers, Joe was 100% healthy.
Right.
And everyone's seen how that transitions from him being healthy and him not being healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest discussion right now. Like, it's easy to see. And, you know, when Jake came in, you know, we changed up the offense a little bit, but Jake came in and filled in, did his role,
right.
made plays, and you can't blame a backup quarterback for not doing that.
He's not Joe Burrow. Right.
He can't be Superman, but as long as he come in and makes plays and, you know, he gives opportunity to his playmakers, and
so,
as a quarterback, you want that.
Yeah. So off of that, because you chickened out there, who do you think? Like, where are you giving them? Where are you giving the lean here? Like, where do you think? Where do you expect this game to go?
For me, I think 49ers gonna. I think it's gonna be a close game, man. It's two outstanding defense at
yeah.
the end of the day, and
right.
It's gonna be all about who gets the most pressure on the quarterback. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying, and whoever got the best scheme. But I probably got, like, I got 49ers by a field goal.
49ers by a field goal?
Wow. I got
right.
it close.
Wow. You're one of the few, right? You really are. We've only had, like, two people so far think the 49ers can win that kind of game.
They can. And not saying pressure's on Brock Purdy, but pressure's on his playmakers at the end of the day. Because
yeah.
they got to win the one-on-one matchups. They got to win to get open. And the receivers got to be yak after catches and stuff like that. So, you know, the receivers and the tight end and Chris McCaffrey, those guys got to – got to be on their A game.
Right.
The stuff that you do and the T. Higgins does, that's what those guys are going to have to do. They're going to have to get open and make it happen. What's the challenge when you lose your starting quarterback to kind of get everybody focused and determined? We can still do what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
This just doesn't end the season. And it didn't. You guys were still in it up until the very end. What's that experience like, though, trying to rally a locker room mm-hmm. to say, our leader's gone, our best player's gone, our quarterback's gone, what do we do going forward?
Yeah, I think that's where the other captains come into play at, you know what I'm saying? And I had to step into that role and be a little more vocal. You know, Trey Henderson, you know, he doesn't be vocal, but he had to be vocal. Sam Hubbard, like those guys, has to speak up and, you know, be the captain that Joe was. And at the end of the day, you know, what I did was just cheer Jake on, you know what I'm saying? I was always on his side, cheering for him, competing for him. And at the end of the day, that's all I asked for, because, you know, like I said, he's the backup. And I just let him come in and play his game freely. I didn't coach him. I didn't say, throw me the ball this way. And I, you know, I just let him come in and play his game.
Yeah. What the relationship with, the, like, you and Joe? Give us, like, a little inside look. Like, yeah. I know you guys are boys, right? But how much boys? Are we playing, like, Madden together? Are we, like, hanging out drinking beers every now and then? Or is it more like, no, we're kind of just boys when we're in the facility and we know everything about each other football-wise?
Yeah, I think it's both, man. We know each other off the field, too, you know, at the end of the day. You know, we go hang out at each other's houses. You know, I try to get him outside with me sometimes.
Smoke some cigars,
you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
All right.
You know, he does a little bit. But, you know, that's not really his comfort zone. And I'll be trying to get him out of his comfort zone, just open up a little bit.
Right. You try to get him out there, get him social.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Joe, don't be such a quarterback nerd all the time. I live mean, life a little.
Nah, you could be a quarterback nerd because
you like that.
Smart.
You needed to be that quarterback
smart,
nerd.
Brother. I love it.
One thing you have in common with Justin Jefferson, you're both great receivers, two of the best in the league. Another thing, he was here for Sleep Number. You're here for Sleep Number. Let's see if we'll put them up side by side. We'll see whose Sleep Number pitch is better.
Okay.
Here's yours.
All right. So I'm here today with Sleep Number. And, you know, as you know, it's 80% of NFL players with Sleep Number, and they give us that to make sure we get better tracking on our sleep, better performance for our games.
Right.
They actually gave me a sleep doctor to give me extra pointers on how I should sleep, what time I should go to sleep by, I should start doing a schedule.
Right.
And my sleep number is at 40 right now, so, you know, I'm getting decent sleep. It could be better, but I'm getting decent sleep, and that's what the sleep doctor did for me. And, you know, I'm going to take his pointers that he gave me and try them out this next year.
Are you a nap guy, or do you just do all your sleeping at night?
I do all my sleeping at night.
Right.
I'm
right,
young, so I got to be going.
All right. You don't need sleep. You're young and full of energy.
And put everybody to sleep.
Give me a damn sleep number, Jamar Chase.
We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
I need one.
Coming soon.
Thanks, Jamar.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Here we are on the strip at the Media Center Radio Row, Thursday of Super Bowl week. Joining us now.
Oh, yeah. We went for all these. The hell with all these, like,
I like the guys who might want to hit a quarterback.
Right. I know you do, because now you know.
I'm waiting for one of them to hit you.
Yeah,
Matthew
right.
Judon, linebacker of the Patriots.
Matthew Judon, one of the best pass rushers in football. First off, we have to comment on your outfit. That's where we have to start.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Outside linebackers usually don't dress like this right here. This is a very unique style. It's almost bohemian. Right? Like, I don't even know what you would classify
it. You know, I bought it like this. It's how I came.
It's cool.
You know, my guy made my pants, you know, and then got some Jordans on, the Travis Scott's. But, I mean.
You're cool.
Can't hide money. As Chris
would
say. No, can't hide money. And nobody is going to sell pants off the rack that fit over these freaking quads and that big butt he has. So that's not going to happen. That's not. So you got to get some. You
got
to get some personal made clothes.
Got these custom made.
Usually, what we do with these interviews, we talk for a while, and then at the end, we have to mention the plug because somebody's here for this company. That kind. I want to start with your plug because what you are plugging is your own deal. You are opening a restaurant.
Yeah.
Have you not watched The Bear? Are you crazy?
Man, I think it's a. We in Victory Park. It's a great location. We right by American Airlines Arena. We're going to have great food. It's a Southern fusion.
Victory Park, Boston? We're right
no,
there?
No. I'm in Dallas.
You're in Dallas.
Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Let me make sure everybody knows.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We in downtown Dallas, Texas.
Right.
Right off in Victory Park, right by American Airlines. You can lead a game and walk to a restaurant. It's called Nine Kitchen and Lounge. And the thing that we're stressing is a great experience. You know, you can go a lot of places and get good food. We're going to have great food. But the thing that's going to make people come back is the experience and the customer service
and the vibe that you get from the restaurants. That's why you go to places and they're your favorite place. Like, I'm going to take my mom here if she come visit. If I go to Dallas, this is where I want to go, and that's what I want. And I want people to come and have a good experience.
So how's the mac and cheese?
Haven't tasted. I had enough people say it's good, but I think it's nasty. So
I'm with you. I'm not down with the mac and cheese either. Yeah, but what's the go-to dish? What's the go-to dish for you?
The go-to dish, see, everywhere I go,
right,
I always start with a Caesar. So we gonna have a black ink Caesar.
Okay.
And so you gotta come try that. We gonna have oxtail risotto in there. We gonna have some of your favorite southern foods, whether that's catfish or a type of fish or right. daily catch, things like that. And then it's a couple like, you know, Matt Judon specials on the menu. So we gonna put out the menu pretty soon. And March 15th is when we're going to open up.
All right. Oxtail awesome. Risotto. Awesome. I can get down with that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can get down. If I'm in Dallas, I'm going to try this out for sure. Right. All right.
What do you think about the coaching change in New England? Something that seemed unthinkable, but we could kind of feel it was coming, and now here's Gerard Mayo taking over.
I think for Mayo to get the job in a fashion that he did, just waiting his time, I love that for him. And I think we couldn't hire a better hire to be successor of Bill. But, you know, it's just tough. You know, we've seen it done one way for so long, and then you just don't know what's going to happen. It's the unknown. But I think Mayo is going to take the Patriots where they need to go. I don't know if it's going to be as long as Bill did it, or if it's how he did it,
right,
it's going to be a different style, and I think Mayo is that guy.
Were you shocked this year about how quickly it kind of unraveled? Not necessarily, but like just around Bill, like how they, you know, it seemed like a lot of people were quick to jump on him, right? You know, fan base in New England, the media, even the national media. Was that a little shocking in the locker room?
You know, I think it was a kind of a love-hate thing for Bill. Like, everybody loved him because he won, but a lot of people hated him
because he
was always winning. Yeah.
This is what we said,
And so I think it was just he was an easy guy to kick, you know, for it. But I don't.
Yeah.
He didn't play not one game. You know, he didn't make a tackle. He didn't make an interception. He didn't throw an interception. None of that.
And so, look out, baby, watch out. You know who this is? He's
in the middle of a live
show. About this guy.
Here he is.
You didn't even play football this year. What are you doing up here? What are you doing? You didn't play football this year.
Devin McCourty throwing haymakers.
Coach Belichick leaves, and we're already doing media.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn.
Keep your earpiece in. Talk to
us.
What up, D-Man?
Now, see, once you lead a game,
right,
you're supposed to lead a game. He's still limping. He didn't get no treatment. But Bill didn't make no plays, and so I think he was just an easy guy to say it's his fault.
Right.
But you know, when they was winning and stuff, it was everybody else. So you know, it's just tough. It's just tough, and I think he handled it with grace and how he always handled everything.
Right. Right.
What do you expect moving forward now? It kind of bottomed out this year. When does it point up again?
We got to make that change. Everybody on that roster, and I think it starts with free agency and draft, making a better roster. But I think we have a good enough roster to compete. We have to make those plays, and so everybody is going to start in OTAs when everybody come back in, and everybody realize like, okay, if we suck again, it wasn't because of Belichick. It wasn't his fault. And so it's on us. It's on the people that's in the building.
Are you good to go? Healthy? Ready to roll?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Had to be hard to have it happen so early.
Man, I wanted to come back. I wanted to play.
You always thought about coming back?
Yeah.
I thought every day. I was watching football. Yeah. I wanted to come back. But it's just tough. You got to make sure that you're mentally and physically ready.
Ready to go, right.
So
right.
Mentally I was ready, but, you know, physically.
Body wasn't there yet. Yeah.
We will be looking forward to seeing you next year.
Get back at
and
it.
If we're in Dallas, we're going to
99
Kitchen and Lounge.
Yeah.
And I'm
there.
Getting the mac and cheese, and I'll tell you how it is.
Oxtail
Matthew
risotto
Judon. See you tomorrow.
Peace.
Have a great Thursday.
Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.